Every year at Christmas time, I want to find that one special gift for somebody, but the problem is that I don't exactly know where to get it. So I go to the first store looking for my treasure for somebody special, and lo and behold, well, it's not there. And then I go to the second store looking for the treasure, the present for somebody, and lo and behold, it's not there. So I think to myself, surely it's got to be at like Walmart or Target because they've got everything. And then lo and behold, I go to Target and then Walmart, and then, well, it's not there. And then I keep looking and looking and looking and looking and looking and looking and looking, and eventually, typically around Christmas Eve morning, it finally dawns on me, I probably should go to this store, and lo and behold, there it is, standing there right as you walk in the door with a nice big bow on it, and then I see the price tag, and then I go, I ain't getting it. But I think we all could relate to what it is to constantly be looking for something and not finding it, and then you keep on looking and looking and looking until you happen to find it. Well, in our text from the Gospel of Mark this morning, Jesus is looking. But he's not looking for presents at the store. He's looking for his followers, his disciples. So he walks along the lake and he finally sees Peter, or Simon, the one he calls Peter, and his brother Andrew, and he says, "Ah, I finally found you. Come follow me." And then he goes a little bit further, and then he finally finds James and John, the one he's been looking for, and he finds them, he calls them, and then they leave everything and follow him. So Jesus goes out of his way, leaving home, leaving Nazareth to find the ones that he is desperately looking for, and he keeps looking and looking and looking until he finds his disciples, much like I kept on looking and looking and looking to find that perfect Christmas present. Well, I can't help but wonder, might Jesus be looking for you? Perhaps this is our Sea of Galilee. Perhaps these are our boats. Perhaps that tug on our hearts, that feeling in our gut, that thought in our head is in fact Jesus looking for us. And he's been looking and looking and looking. And what if this is that aha moment of his when he finally says, "Ah, found you." Perhaps this is the moment Jesus has been looking so hard, even having to lay down his life, the breaking of his body, the shedding of his blood, so that in order that he might find you. Well, that certainly does give a warm and fuzzy feeling to us that we would be so loved and valued and treasured by God that Jesus would hunt after us, looking for us, and looking and looking and looking until he finds us. Well, that's all warm and fuzzy, great and worthy of sermons. But then there's something else that goes along with it. He doesn't just say, "Aha, I found you." He says, "You, come follow me." It means that Peter and Andrew had to leave their nets on the beach in order to follow Jesus. It meant for James and John, they had to leave Dad in the boat with the hired workers, mending the nets, while they went off and followed Jesus. It means, like Jonah, typically we hear something from God that we don't want to hear. God told Jonah to go to where? Go to Nineveh. And guess where Jonah went? He went to Tarshish. That would be like going to Erie through Denver. But yet we can relate to Jonah. We can relate to Peter. When Jesus says, "I found you, now you come find me, because I am going there, and I am going there, and we are going to go looking for the ones I haven't found yet." And you're not going to do that casting your nets into the lake. Now, if you're anything like me, the idea of fishing for people is probably not as exciting as fishing for walleye in Lake Erie in July. Because in case you haven't wondered or noticed, not everybody wants to be found. So what happens when we have our Jonah moments, when God says, hey, Mark, I found you, let's go find others, and we go, but I want to go to Tarshish. I don't want to go there. Well, the bad news is there's a whale for each of us. There's a whale for each of us when we don't want to do what God tells us to do. There's a 3 days in the belly of the fish, wondering to myself, probably should have done what God told me to do, and I wouldn't be stuck here in the belly of the fish. So we've all had our Jonah moments when God says, Mark, do this, and we say, we're doing that. But the good news of the gospel is you and I don't have to spend time in the belly of the fish. Because you see, the one who calls us is the one who spent 3 days in the grave. The one who he himself has answered and followed God's call perfectly. You see, it should have been us in the grave, but the good news is it was him in the grave, so that you and I don't have to. And that means that because of Jesus, you and I can finally, long last, have our Jesus moments instead of our Jonah moments. And when Jesus says, hey, Mark, let's go find others, we leave everything on the beach or the dock and we go and follow. Well, I wonder, Jesus has found us. Are you and I willing to follow and find others? Do you and I have the commitment that we will leave behind everything on the dock and follow Jesus wherever he goes, whatever he calls of us, and perhaps just maybe we'll end up in the kingdom of God? You see, Jesus doesn't just call us, as wonderful as that is. Jesus also challenges us. Because if we are truly going to follow him, then we need to repent and leave everything sitting in the boat. Behind. Turn around and follow God. It means that we need to change and be changed. It means that instead of fishing for fish, we fish for people, if that be our calling. But it means a word in our country that has become just as bad as a four-letter word, and that is the word commitment. Commitment, that we would bind ourselves to God. The reason commitment and binding is so dirty in our country is because we want an opportunity to leave. If it so fancies us, if we have an impulse or something that we don't like, we've got one foot out the door and the other one is ready to go. Like marriages, like careers or jobs, neighbors. And yes, even relationships with our God. We've got our foot in when God promises to bless us. Yay! The moment God challenges us and asks something from us, woo, where's Tarshish? So my friends, if we're going to be disciples of Jesus Christ, then it is going to require commitment. That we would bind ourselves to God, and that might just mean we leave something or someone behind. Over the years, there have been disciples who have left their fortunes, like Saint Nicholas, who was a rich spoiled prince. But the moment he became a believer, do you know what he did? He took his fortune and he gave it to the children of his village, and he became poor. For those that were powerful, it meant giving up their powerful and leaving it behind. For some disciples, it meant leaving behind their families and going off and fishing for people. For some like me, it might mean leaving behind your hometown or friends or relationships. For some, it might mean a new career. But chances are, in fact, 100% of the time, if you are going to commit to Jesus, you're going to have to divorce something else to be married unto him. Now, I would like to think that we're all eager, like Peter and Andrew and James and John, all willing to leave behind whatever it is that we might follow Jesus into the kingdom of God. But I know enough about myself to realize that there are days we're buying tickets for Tarshish instead of going Jesus' way. But my friends, the good news for us is that even though we might have our Jonah moments, and a lot of them, because of Jesus, he's the one in the fish. But don't think for a moment we ain't going to Nineveh, because we're going to Nineveh. So when God calls, and this just might be that moment, because he's been looking for us and he's found us. But what if this is also the moment when we answer God's call? But not with one foot in and one foot out, waiting for the slightest excuse to ditch this whole church thing because you don't like my tie, you don't like the fact that I'm standing here instead of up there, you don't like what I'm saying, you don't like the people, you don't like the cake, you don't like the carpet, you don't like the time, you don't like the weather. There are 1,000 reasons not to commit to God. But there is one very important reason to commit to God with everything and not just with a little. And that is, look how long and hard Jesus went looking for you. If God loves us that much, then maybe this is the time we commit to loving God and each other with all that we are, not just with the least little bit that we can afford to lose. Perhaps that is what it truly means to repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that the kingdom of God has come near to us, that we have been found, that God has gone to such lengths in order to find us. But it means, dare I say it, that we bind ourselves to Christ with commitment. And not just when it's easy or when everyone else is doing it, but when it's hard and when it might cost me everything. Then, at long last, we will truly be disciples of Christ, when we leave all of our stuff on the beach and the dock, and we will truly find that, yes, the kingdom of God has come near, but it means that we must commit ourselves to it, and we must at long last answer the call. So, my friends, this is the choice that lies before us. I have no doubt that at this moment, you have been found by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The nudging and the tugging on your hearts, the thoughts or feelings in your minds, the ooh, warm and fuzzy feeling. And yay for God. But there's always a part upon us, the part of faith, the part of answering that call. Will this be our Jesus moment, or will this be our Jonah moment? All those following Christ, it's time to get on the boat. The rest of y'all can set sail for Tarshish. Amen.